Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Hey, Michelle Rickman Brains, she's in the middle of a life transition. She's moving. She sold her place, she's renting another place, she's getting a place built, she's got a trailer, and she's enjoying life. So we're going to have a really good, easy conversation. I really enjoy talking to Michelle because she's a woman of a particular age, and she's not afraid to still have some zeal and some gusto and some moxie. So many times, so many of us get stuck in that numbers game, but it's not over till it's over, you know.
Exactly.
And she's doing some fun stuff too. She is a modern day 21st century girl Friday. She has a business when she wants to work of being a personal concierge. Now, a friend of mine did that, so I want to see what that looks like. He hired a bunch of college students that would go in and do personal tasks for individuals, everything from checking their email to walking their dog to picking up their laundry. But what does that look like? And really, is there a need for that? I think so. I would love to do that. How is that different from a personal assistant? What's the price point on having someone come in and do something like that? We're going to cover all that and more with this beautiful lady right here, Michelle Rickman from Canada. Welcome to On the Edge.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Well, I'm excited too. Tell my brains a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world.
Sure. So I am a domestic engineer. It is a title that I gave myself when I gave up my full-time paid job to stay home and raise my children. I never liked the stay-at-home mom title because it doesn't even begin to define all that you do. So one day I had my mother phone me and said they wanted to hire me as their personal concierge. And I was like, great, mom, what does that mean? So for them, they're snowbirds. So they would be gone from November till May and they needed somebody to check on their condo. So they hired me to do that and go through the mail and take care of any tasks that needed to be, you know, dealt with in the mail and income tax time, send all their papers off to their accountant. And from there, it was just people would ask me, you know, if I could do this or do that. And I would say yes. And over time, I realized that I really want to focus on my strengths and what I'm really good at. And I have discovered that I'm really good at helping other people take care of their tasks and to get rid of their stuff because I'm not attached to it. So my time has been reserved from anything from folding laundry, meal prep, packing, purging, organization, unpacking. I have been referred to as a professional wife without the nagging. And I have been in a few situations dealing with like divorcing couples trying to split up their stuff and kind of just being that calm.
Right. The buffer,
you know, the buffer between them. Cause you know, it's so interesting. Cause I know I've had wives complain that I can't get him to do anything and blah, blah, blah. And I just go up and ask them and they'll do it because I'm not attached. I'm not part of anything. Right. I'm just that neutral party. And it's an objective. You have a goal. I can help you reach that goal.
Well, people overthink it and they're
yes.
Order. So it's great when you have someone that is totally objective.
Yes.
So,
yes. And you're right. People do overthink things. I have so many times I have had people, oh, my stuff, it's so much. And I go, I'm like, I can see the floor. I can see your walls. Like to me, it's not overwhelming to me, but it's also, I have a different level of, you know, everybody has a level of that, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. And I think my level is a little bit higher than other people's. And also, you're right, when they don't know how to even deal with their own stuff. And that's okay, because I know how to deal with it.
Because stuff is an emotional attachment.
Yes, so, yes.
Okay, yes. It's not just, you know, I'm packing. I'm going to be going on a trip soon. And I know that this suitcase, for the amount of traveling we're going to be doing, is too cotton picking heavy. Because, girl, I want to be cute.
Don't we all?
I want to be cute in those pictures. But my husband said, are you going for the experience or are you trying to be a fashionista? Both. You don't need a hat with each outfit. You know, who's going to care? And then he's going to end up carrying it because I'm going to be all grumpy and stuff. It's going to ruin the trip. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to downsize. But there's some things that I'm emotionally attached to. That's just my suitcase. Mm-hmm. I can only wish to go through my closet. You know, oh, this is going to be cute when I lose those 10 pounds. Or, oh, this is a little big, but, you know, I'm going to keep that. Or those shoes with the price tag on them that I've never worn. You know, but emotional things like Aunt Martha's china.
You know, yeah.
Grandma's cookbooks. There's certain things that people really want to leave as a legacy and an imprint. So I'm glad that mm-hmm. you're able to kind of help them talk through it and work through it. You ever seen that yeah. show, Hoarders?
I have. That's overwhelming. I honestly, that to me is a whole other avenue. Because when you have a hoarder, it's not only just the stuff. There's also sometimes
mental health.
And that's not my strength. And I'm very upfront saying, look, like, you need a professional. And I've actually walked into a few situations like that where it was beyond my capabilities. And it was very overwhelming, even for me. And I kind of get like the creepies when I get in, when it's too much.
How can you not get the creepies with the cat lady? They've got 15 damn cats and yeah. no litter box.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you not get creepy?
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, I am in Canada. And so those particular individuals that, you know, did reach out to me, but it wasn't for me to do, in good conscience, I'm like, you know what, you're in a position that you're looking for help. You want to get this taken care of. And I says, unfortunately, that's not my strength, but let me find you the correct person and connect you. So both these times I spent like a week or two calling different organizations, trying to get the right help for these people to take care, you know, so that they can have their home cleaned properly and start fresh. So
that is what a concierge does.
Yes.
A concierge provides services, options, logistics, and they want to make it pleasant for you. They want to make it a pleasant experience. And I totally yeah. get it. So yeah. now, how are you going to do this mobily? How are you going to find people wherever you are? You just put a call out like you're doing now. You got referrals in different cities. You are
pretty much
networking in the coffee shop. How are you getting clients now?
So a lot of people have found me actually on social media. So I do have a website. I am on Facebook, and that seems to be where a vast majority of the people that have found me. Now, that's not to say that I haven't had people from out of the country have found me through Google, looking for a personal concierge. So last May, I helped a gentleman whose wife, him and his wife were having a child through a surrogate that was being born not far from where I live. And he was coming from out of country. Now, this was height of COVID and he had to quarantine and he needed all the stuff for the baby. So he hired me and I helped him do that. But he was coming from Malaysia. I've had people connect, like find me through Google, and then I've been hired to take care of stuff for them in Canada, as long as it's locally sourced. Yeah. And it blows my mind. I'm like,
that is so cool. That is really cool. And it's easy and it's on your own terms.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you charge by the task? Do you charge by the hour?
I charge by the hour. So my time is up for reservation. So my minimum is 2 hours. Say you reserve me for 4 hours, but you know, like I only have one speed, quick. So, and I never expect anybody to keep up with me. Like I really don't. Like I have assistants that help me and they're like, we're so worried. We're concerned. We can't keep up with the speed. I'm like, I'm not looking for speed. I'm looking for attention to detail.
Right.
Cause I'm like, no one can repeat me. I'm one person. Like this is just how I am.
Right.
And I can get the task done quicker. So you only pay for the time that is used. I'm just trying to be very fair, and I just bring my strengths and really to relieve my clients of the stress. Like, people really do get overwhelmed, overstressed, and I'm like, let it go. I gotcha. We'll get you through it.
So you have a team that work with you? Do you have a couple people that work with you?
I do. Yes. I have a couple of other women, and I also have my son, my nephew, my daughter. I kind of employ my family if I need extra help. But if I'm already reserved as well, right? There's people looking for help, and I'm like, look, I'm only one person. I only focus on one person a day. I'm not interested in trying to rush through one person to get to somebody else in the same day. So, you know, I try and have my assistants go and help them. Very capable. They understand my process, and they know that they can call me and, you know, at any time we can, and so, and show me what they've kind of run into, and I can help them navigate through it.
And there's a level of trust.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She's your gopher girl. Okay. But she's very mature. She's vetted her people. I'm sure that if anything transpired, that she's going to let you know. You can trust her around your children. You can trust her with your cat. She's going to walk the dog. It's a lot to be in response. It's a lot of responsibility. It's more responsibility than the person actually lives there. You got mm-hmm. the keys. See, I'm funny like that. I don't let people in my house when I'm not home. If I have a workman that's coming here, you best believe I'm in the other room.
Yeah.
When the housekeeper and the cleaning lady is here, I'm here. I'm just not that trusting. So I have a friend that has a place that she's trying to rent, and she goes, oh my God. She says, these people have been in and they've had a dog walker, but we've watched the dog walker on the surveillance camera. Do you think that it is rude to have the people that come in your house under surveillance and not tell them when you're entrusted to their property?
That's strange that they didn't tell me you're on camera. Not that I'm going to do something, but, right, but I think you should at least tell them.
I don't know how you know, I'm not trying to catch anybody doing anything wrong, because number one, I hired you on your integrity.
Right.
And I don't like being under surveillance either. However, people do snoop, you know, they look and see how much you might owe on a bill or credit card number, or, you know, go through the jewelry. You never know. So what you want to do too is you want to leave it. You don't want to leave anything out that would tempt anybody. And that's what I do too.
Yeah.
My husband goes, oh, you clean before the cleaner comes? No, I'm sure, you know, she's cool. But I don't even want to tempt anybody. It's easy to pick up a diamond ring. It's easy to pick up, you know, $50 that's laying around.
But do you want that to come back to bite you in the butt? That's why I like the amount of money I have found, April, going through people's things will blow your mind. The amount of unused gift cards, uncashed checks, birthday cards, Christmas cards with cash in it. I was helping this one woman. She was purging her items, and she had this purse, and she's like, oh, there's nothing in that. I'm like, no. I checked the pockets, opened, pull out an envelope, $5,000 cash she'd forgotten about. And I'm like, wow. I literally was like, oh my God. So I said, that is karma I don't want on me. I would never think to take from anybody. That's part of my reputation. I do have insurance as well, but it's also just morals and ethics. Like, you know, I do, maybe I come from, I'm old school that way, the way I was raised.
You're the right kind of person.
Yeah.
You're the right kind of person, because if it's not mine, I don't want it. If it's not mine, I don't want it. And you know what? The tips are unbelievable. My cleaning lady, you know, she'll come in, she cleaned the house. I know she did a good job. I'll tip her a 20. You know, because it's your level of integrity. So now when you're looking for a person to do a personal concierge service like this, what are some of the basic things that you might be looking for from that individual? Is it, you know, being licensed and bonded? Is it good references? Is it, what kind of things can a person look for?
Well, I have had other women that had helped me when I first started out. We were doing cleaning but it really wasn't what I wanted to be doing. So with them, like, I had them had a reference. They I had the insurance to cover them, but it really was like these are just women. I sort of, you know what, I kind of go off of my own gut feeling with people. Mm-hmm. And I, to be honest, I haven't had anybody that has worked for me that I've had to let them go. Like I really do trust my gut when it comes to this. The two assistants that I have are also moms who have children. The one woman, I've known her for 18 years. The other woman, I've known her for about 6 years, very trusting. They, you know, are hardworking people. And that's really, like I said, I try and take on people that are interested in wanting to do this, that have a good ethic, you know, want to get the work done, like to work as a team, and like, there's no attachment. And I'm very fair in paying, compensating the people that work for me, because I figure if you compensate them at a good price, you're going to get good work.
This is perfect for the stay-at-home mom that, you know.
May I correct you? Domestic engineer. That is the narrative. Domestic engineer. No more of that STAY.
Right. Okay. Domestic engineer.
Domestic engineer. And you catch people.
Really, because titles make people feel a certain kind of way. Mm-hmm. They put a little bit more chutzpah behind what they do because there's a title associated with it. Prestige. Mm-hmm. They want to branch off and start their own concierge service. So when you're not working and doing that for other people, what are some of the leisurely things that you love to do for yourself? I heard you can bake.
I do. I love to bake. I am a big baker.
I look nice and thin there. Are you baking vegan cookies? What are you baking over there?
No, not vegan. Although I have to say my sister's actually a vegan and kind of introduced me into some of it. So I'm kind of slowly incorporating to change that, you know, to be a bit healthier.
Vegan meals and it tastes like straw. I couldn't. I've been to vegan restaurants. Wonderful. But I couldn't do it.
Make it at home is no. And yeah, like I said, I love to cook. I love to bake. I do have a Mediterranean background. So lots of, you know, sauces from scratch. Actually, that's what I'm making today. I make my Nana's banana bread. And I would do these up for networking events. I would take a couple of banana breads as door prizes. And so that was one of the ways that people got to know me. Oh, banana bread. Oh, she's here. What did you bring? It was either the banana bread or I would do a oatmeal raisin cookie or a chocolate chip cookie. So I have like these different recipes. So I would do little packages and, you know, those are my strengths. And to be honest, I will not take credit for this. It was somebody else who understood that I really struggled trying to get the word out about myself because if my time is reserved, I couldn't be in two places at the same time, even though I wanted to network. And this woman was like, you're such a good baker. Give me some of your stuff. And because she would go to lots of networking events. And so she would do this for me. And I was beyond grateful for that and was able to even acknowledge what she did for me in front of a big crowd. And she had no idea. And I didn't even know she was going to be there. She came in late and actually got to hear what I said about her. So, you know, whenever anybody passes on something like a referral, like I always ask, like, how did you find me? Because then I go back to that person and I always acknowledge, because, you know, absolutely, word of mouth is really important for me. And that's how I've been found in our area.
That is more important than, you know, a testimonial or a personal reference, because mm-hmm. I ask people about people, you know. Like I said, I'm going on a trip. I've asked 4 or 5 people, have you used this company before? Because they're taking a long time calling me back. I don't want to get somewhere and get stuck. But right. Referrals and brains do that. Leave a comment, you know. Let people know that the service was good. If the service wasn't all that good, don't butcher them. Don't talk bad about them. But explain what happened, but also mm-hmm. offer some suggestions on how the service could get better.
Yeah. And I literally just had that with somebody and it was just, you know, I don't know, to be honest, I'm still not even sure how we kind of missed some stuff considering I walked with her 3 times through the house and yet some things were missed. And so I was trying to understand How did this happen? How did we miss some of these things? So because of that incident, and that literally just happened like a few weeks ago, because of that, I'm now in the process of creating a form. So when people are if we're packing up people, like their house, so we would just go in, there wasn't anything written down. It was like, show us what we're doing. So now what I'm doing is I've created a form that you're going to tell us everything that we have, the rooms we have to hit, the doors that need to be opened and emptied, you know, like all the closets, the cupboards, all of it, so that there's no, we don't miss anything.
Right. Yeah, and that's a checklist.
And it is a checklist.
I'm going to tell you, Michelle, even though you have a checklist, you're not going to be able to tick it off because there's going to be Marge.
Yeah.
And Marge is going to find something because she's looking for something.
Yeah. You know?
But that's okay because we want her happy. Customer service is paramount. Taking ownership and responsibility for things that happen. I had a situation where something got broken in my house, and that it annoyed me because you didn't tell me. I understand things happen.
Yeah.
But don't slide out like it didn't happen and I'm not going to figure it out.
No, see, that's not me. I am. I've broken in 8 years, I've broken one thing. And that, and the crazy part is that I actually moved it and then did this and my elbow hit it. And so as soon as it happened, pictures, and I texted the client and I said, I'm really, really sorry. I can replace it. I have insurance. And he was like, you know what? It's okay. Thank you for letting me know. And he didn't want me to replace it. But yeah, I would know as soon as anything happens, pictures, and the client knows right away. So there's no surprises coming when they come home looking for, you know, their vase and now it's broken. So, and that's just also ethics, right? It is.
It's business ethics. And anything you do, take ownership, take responsibility, learn from it and move on. If the customer is that angry with you and you lose a customer, it's a lesson learned. You've got something very valuable.
Yes.
And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, they're going to do just like they did with Michelle. Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me. I can replace it or whatever and just move on. Mm-hmm. Now, you are moving on in a trailer 3 months out of the year. Are you excited about that? 6 months?
Yeah. Eventually, it will be from May to October is the plan, right? So we purchased this. It's a 3-season trailer. It's not winterized. So that's why we have our space where it's hot for the winter. So yeah, we're transitioning to this trailer that has, we're having a sunroom put on. And yeah, our plan is to be there for spring, summer, fall.
Real high profile ones that where it extends out and
pop outs.
Really? And it's all luxury inside. Granite marble tops and wood floors. My friend has one of those, but driving that sucker. Okay, so what do you do? You
pull it's parked it? At no, it's actually stationary. Like it's actually at a, it's like a resort park and it's adult only. So they're just these, like it's like a 42-foot long trailer. We have our own bedroom with a queen size bed, has dresser and cabinets and all that. We have a bathroom with a shower, sink and toilet. We have a kitchen that has an island, you know, a little stove, lots of windows, but it pops out so that we have 3 pop outs to expand it. And then we're adding a 10-by-20-foot sunroom that will give us even more space to be able to expand. Yeah. So our,
now you call it a trailer.
Yes.
Is that synonymous with what we call a mobile home?
It is a travel trailer.
Okay, you can move it. It's not,
can be moved, yes. We're just not moving it though.
Okay.
Yeah. It is stationary.
I want a tiny home.
You know what? This is technically, it is a tiny house. It's just on wheels and it's perfect. You know, it's about, I think 700 square feet, the whole thing. So
you were telling me you got an incredible price on it too.
Yes. So the previous owners sold it to us. Like we had a budget and we've only used a third of our budget.
Wow.
So they sold us the trailer and they left everything. Like my husband was just blown away. Like all the dishes, cutlery, pots, pans. The only thing we had to take up was towels and sheets for the bed. Wow. That was it.
That's
like we have outdoor furniture, the barbecue, you know, it's all there.
So you said you had a deep conversation with your husband about essentially now being free.
Mm-hmm.
What what does that really feel like, where you just don't give a damn? You know, I can get up at 2 o'clock. I can go work a couple hours. I don't have to work at all. I can sit there and lounge on my patio. So many people work their entire lives, and they're mm-hmm. working towards retirement. But they get to retirement age, be that 62 or, you know, 65. I've got an uncle that's 81 that's still working. They have not set themselves up for success. It could be a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
You know, the health concerns. Maybe they just want to do it. But what does it feel like just to really be free at this point in your life?
You know what? The financial freedom will be happening later this week, because we'll be, the proceeds of the sale of the house will come through. You know what? It still seems very surreal to us, because we've been talking about this and planning this and putting things into place so that we could do this earlier. You know, like I just said, why? We're young. We have done everything we're supposed to do that society says. You know, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, debt, debt, debt. And I've kind of said to my children, don't do what you think you're supposed to do. I want you to do what you want to do,
right,
which is different, right? So even for us at this stage, like, you know, my husband is just turned 55 and I'm a few years older than him, and he's going to be retiring the end of this year. And it's, we have done, you know, like we've raised our children, we've had the house, we never really overextended ourselves. We always saved for things, you know, but we never denied, like, you know, we took the kids on trips, and we, you know, they had their secondary education and everything. But it was one of these, like, you know what, now we're going to turn and look at us. This is about, like, why wait till you're 65, 70? We're still young enough. Financially, we can do this. Mm-hmm. So let's do it now. And let's do all the things, like travel and just be in nature. Like, that's the one big part where the trailer is just being in nature, taking that step back and enjoying things.
Right. But also, when you get to a particular age, because that's me and Mr. Magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at it. He'll be retired from his second career.
Oh, wow.
And he said, baby, he says, all I want to do is clean the house and cook for you. I was like, well, if I'd known that, you could have retired 5 or 6 years ago.
Exactly.
But what I've noticed in my life is that I've scaled back. I don't have the need or the desire for things.
Yeah.
You know, like I was kind of on my trip, I'm kind of looking at what are the most trendy souvenirs that people buy, because I love to buy stuff. But I don't want to get there and, you know, buy a whole bunch of stuff. I can't bring the trip back. And my husband's saying, baby, let's go. And just at this point in our life, it's about the experience.
Experience. Exactly.
It's about the memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about the love. That's what God has given us memories and photographs for, is to be able to reflect back on those good times and then recant them when things go awry, because we're all going to expire.
Yeah.
Or later.
So enjoy the ride while you can.
Enjoy the ride.
Let yeah.
And you do. One last thing, Michelle.
Sure.
What did that isolation of COVID teach you about you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, because I truly, really, I will admit, I really, really struggled because of what I offer, custom hands-on help for people. How do you convince people to have me in your home when the whole world has shut down? It was really trying to figure out what to do with myself, because I'm such a go, go, go person. And when you can't go shopping and when you can't go and help people, I took that step back and I spent time on myself. That's what, you know, and I didn't feel guilty. I was able to start a workout program. I even improved my meditation. I was cooking foods that, like, I have like my own little bucket list of things, like beef bourguignon is one, like, and I've actually done Julia Child's that.
Oh,
it's a little bit labor intensive. It takes about 3 hours, but the taste, oh my word, it was so incredible.
Just her presence alone in the kitchen. She
could exactly
French fries and you just,
exactly.
Oh my God, Julia Child's.
So that was, you know, I spent the time because I wasn't able to help other people. I spent the time kind of working on myself, and I love to knit. So during that time, I was doing posts and just saying, hey, if anybody has wool, I was doing porch pickups of people's wool, and I was going home and I was making lap blankets for seniors in nursing homes, but they weren't taking them because of COVID. So I flipped and I started making cancer blankets for people getting treatment because they have to be bigger and longer. And so for 6 months, because literally nobody did anything for 6 months, that's what I did. I spent my time on myself and then also making things for the community. So,
well, and you are so giving, so philanthropic, so loving, and that's what we love about you.
And you are so sweet. Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, you're a woman of service. You don't have to do this, you know, like you set it up, you know, knock it out of the park. But you want to do it, and you still want to be active, and you still want to be engaged, and you still want to touch people. And that's what we want to do here on The Edge. We want to touch you, Brains. Tell my Brains, I have your information in the back, your personal concierge, domestic engineer. Get that right, because she'll hang up on you. So you got the wrong number. This is not Girl Friday. I am a domestic engineer and my team. And so thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it, Michelle. I'm going to put your information on the back. Brains, reach out. And you know what? I think that she's super cool, that maybe this is a little side hustle that you might want to do. Maybe she has an online course. Maybe she's, you know, want to coach you for a few hours. You can hire her to do that. But I think it's very unique. It's very flexible. But you got to be right. You got to have insurance. And if you break something, you got to tell them.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you. This has been, just awesome. I was really looking forward to this, and I really thank you for the opportunity.
Well, call me from the mobile park.
Oh, I will. Yeah, we're going up in a couple of weeks.
Take me on a tour so I can see, you know, maybe, because Mr. Magnificent was telling me, baby, let's get one of those Mercedes Benz that they have tricked out and see all 50 states. I was like, yes and no. I need some luxury. I need a spa.
You can drive to a place and have a spa experience.
I know.
You don't have to have it in your space. You could drive to it.
I know. But, you know, driving those things, you got to learn how to drive them too. They're not what you think they are. People get these mobile homes. You got to be careful going up these narrow mountains and all that. But you don't have to worry about that because you're stationary. You got two young men and your husband. So you can just lay there in the lap of luxury. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Brains, take it easy with yourself. I'm watching you. Okay.